Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 559. We're in the Sefer Bin Yabais, Living Marriage, Teachings of Rav Moshe Shechadowitz. We're in lesson number 2, a deeper look into intimacy. We're going to talk about Simchas Oina, the happiness of her time, which means that a wife's enjoyment of the relations, it's not just a detail of the intimacy. It's one of the most central topics of the entire mitzvah of Oina. Her enjoyment. It's also understood that it's a complete mitzvah in and of itself, independent of the obligation to have children. Later, at the end of this sefer, talks about the connection between these two obligations in a section called The Deeper Look into Having Children that binds the two, but it's two separate mitzvahs. This one is called Mitzvahs Oina, the Rabbeinu Chananel, Psachim, Dafayim Beis, Amad Beis, explains that it's learned from the Pasuk, Shuvu Lachem La'ahaleichem. Shuvu Lachem La'ahaleichem. You should return to your tents, which is an allusion to intimacy with the wives. And there's other Mekairis, which we're going to get into. But again, it's Simchas Oina, happiness of our time. So the essence of this mitzvah is innately connecting to arouse a wife's simcha and joy in this pleasure of the unity, of the bonding. And Rabbi Yoel Lapian, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yoel Lapian, that performing this mitzvah without simcha is similar to putting on tefillin, which are empty. A mitzvah that's done without happiness, this mitzvah, is not a mitzvah. It needs to be done with a certain simcha, a certain sipuk ha-nefesh. The Maral in Chedushi Agadeis Chelek Gimel says, Ki ha-simcha b'dvar mitzvah hainu ha-oina atzma. The enjoyment involving the mitzvah of intimacy is the oina itself. Kasha ha-maisa zeh b'shleimus, when it's done with completion. Kasha hi oisa b'simcha, when it's done with joy. Hi oina shel mitzvah. That is the oina of the mitzvah. So it's clear from the Maral's words that the mitzvah is called a oinas Simchas Oina, the happiness of her time, because if a wife is not happy about it, it's lacking in the essence of what makes it a mitzvah. Now, it doesn't exclude the husband's happiness. It's clear that they both need to be happy with the physical union itself in order to really have this mitzvah b'shleimus, like we're going to see in the Rambam. The Rambam, when talks about the conduct of proper conduct with one's wife, Nehilchas Deis Perak Hey Halacha Dalid, V'la Ya'anas Aisa, cannot force her, V'hi Eini writes when she's not willing, Ela Baratzin Shneim, it must be with the will of both of them, Uvis Simchasam, with their joy. So again, the Maral and the Svarim, the Iker, the primary, is on her joy, but here the Rambam brings their joy. And then it says, V'sapri Sachakim Ma'atket Ishit Yashiv Nasha, she should speak to her and amuse her, she should have peace of mind. But the idea being, from the Maral's words of Simcha, and in Tiferes Yisrael Perek Lamed, he also elaborates on this. Ki roi ha-simcha l'chasen. Chasen, the Simcha is befitting to a groom, to a chasen. Ki chen roi ha-simcha kashis mitzias shalom. When there's no greater happiness as when there is a complete existence and completion, and that happens. Ve'in l'cha mitzias yoyis shalom mizivik chasen v'kala. There's no existence which is more complete than a zivig between a chasen and a kala. Because a person, a man, even if he's the most complete creation among creations, and it's not complete until he marries a woman, and when he has a zivig, he becomes complete through his zivig, and the man is in completion of the world, and therefore it's befitting to have simcha in their zivig, which is their completion. And when there's no simcha, it's not a complete existence. That is the idea. This is what the Maral says. Now, Rav Chaim Brim asked the Chazon Ish, where is there a remez in the Torah where the Chazal found to describe the couple's union as Simchas Oina? Where is there a remez in Torah Shebeksav, in the written Torah about it? It doesn't mention Simcha openly, it seems. So the Chazon Ish answered that the smak, the Sefer Mitzvos HaKatan, the smak, explains the Chiyuv of Oina, coming from the pasuk, ki yikach es isha lo yetze batzava, this is going on the Shana Rishana rule. They should not go to the army. Naki yilebeisei shana achas should be free for a house for 1 year in his house without these obligations to go to war. V'simach es ishtoi ashalokach. And he should make his wife happy. Now it's strange because when it says in the pasuk he should make his wife happy, no direct mention of intimacy. There are other verses which talk about the husband's obligation of intimacy. The Chazainish explained, though, that the Smak knew other sources, but he chose this source. Why? Because he, Paskin, and he chose, and he revealed, that the primary expression of a simaches ishtai, of making her happy, is an allusion to intimacy, to physical intimacy. Of course, you can make her happy by being kind to her, and being warm to her, and giving her gifts, and taking care of her in many different ways. But the Smak teaches the Vesimach here as an illusion of making her happy in the actual physical sexual intimacy. You see an allusion to this also in Bereishis. You know, Yitzchak Mesachech his Rivka Ishtai, that he laughed with his wife. The Rashi says, the Feirish, the laugh here is used as an allusion to their intimate relations. So you see that the connection, the mitzvah itself, is connected to simcha. So that's the idea. So one of the main issues of what holds back the simcha and what holds back this oina is the misunderstandings or lack of understanding between the differences of men's nature and women's nature. They are so extremely different in every way. And in the topic of intimacy, there's no exception. They are very, very different in the way they approach it, in the way they feel about it, in the way their body responds to it. Totally different, generally speaking. And it's very, very important. Now, a husband's needs also needs to be fulfilled. And that'll be explained in future lessons. But here, we're going to discuss more the husband's appreciation of his wife's needs, what he needs to understand in order to succeed. The successful union is based on a husband's ability to understand the differences between himself and his wife and relate to her needs properly. And there are four major fundamental differences. One major difference is that it's a wife's natural state that brings her to desire her husband's intimacy. Removing all the layers of different misconceptions, of different experiences, this is inherent. It takes a munah sometimes to believe this, because so many women are so out of touch with this, through the generations, or through culture, or through whatever it may be, that this doesn't seem natural to them, so they have a hard time to believing this. But this is what it is. Ala isha amar vel isha teshukasek, your husband will be your desire. Rashi says, that's letashmish, for physical intimacy. Now, for a fully developed, happily married woman that's hormonally healthy, then they'll feel that more. But a young kala is still undeveloped and needs to work with her husband to actualize this nature. So here, under the chuppah, you have a husband, a man. He's physically ready for the union. You have a kala, a woman, that very often is not ready. She needs to be cultivated. Because a man, his external physical drives are naturally completed and developed and easily awakened. And as a matter of fact, the problem with men is that their drive, the sexual physical drive, is often overdeveloped. That's why the Isurim of Shmiras Einayim, of Lo Sasuru, even though it applies to women too, but it's primarily geared towards men because they have a more natural pursuit of pure physicality based on their nature. But by women, the physical drives are often hidden deeply within her. There are some women that have spontaneous desire, but most women don't. And it's the husband's responsibility to help his young kala blossom into a wife who will desire the intimacy. Seeing Gemara Sanhedrin Chabez on the base, it says as follows. Rabbi Shmuel ben Unya Mishmei Rav said that Isha Goylem hi, a woman is like an unfinished vessel. The Eina caresses bris el lamisha asai keli. She does not make a covenant, a connection, a bonding, except with one who makes her into a vessel, who makes her into a keli. As it says, Kibayalayach Oisayach, the one who is intimate, Oisayach makes you. Hashem Tzvakeh Shmai. Rashi says, Goylem hi, what does it mean that she's an undeveloped vessel? Koidim shenivala goylem, before she has relations, she's an undeveloped vessel. Keli shaloi nigmar kari goylem. A goylem is an expression of a vessel that's not finished. Making her into a vessel means transforming her from an undeveloped young girl into a wife who will desire her husband's intimacy. It's not an overnight process. It's possible that after the first night or first attempt of physical union, technically the physical has been completed, but the inner emotional self is still far from relating to the marital union. That takes time. That takes time. The inner self needs to be nurtured by the husband's constant, not just physical, sexual, interactions with her with kindness, but emotional support. Spiritual support and emotional support. And if a husband ignores this process, is overly impatient, or does not try to align with her, and acts as if she's completely developed, not only did he not actualize her ability to become a proper wife, she will become locked in that underdeveloped state. This is a problem that is happening because of lack of skills and lack of chinuch and lack of sensitivity. Again, the husband sometimes is not even aware of it. He thinks he's behaving the right way. He tries, but he's so off the mark that it traumatizes a young wife, a young Kala, where she freezes. And it will take her a long time to warm up to it. While if the proper skills and proper education and proper mahalach would have been taught all along in the healthy way, in the couple of months into marriage, and then, like we said many times, to come back after 4 months or 6 months into marriage and retrain, now that you could explicitly more talk about it, to know what the husband needs to do in a very graphic, clear way with a wife and vice versa, that will help tremendously save countless marriages because they don't have this education and they need it in order to get this done right. A second difference is ze yitzroim bebechutz, ze yitzroim bebefnim. Which means like this, the husband's inclinations from the outside, hers is from the inside, which means that this is similar to the first, but a little nuance here, that the husband's desire for physical relationship and sexual relationship is actually expressed on the outside, hers is hidden under the surface. So even though a wife has a natural desire for intimacy, doesn't mean she will be actively ready for the union without preparation. Again, there are exceptions to the rules where some women do have spontaneous desire, but most don't. And therefore, a husband whose yetzer is on the outside will almost immediately be ready for marital relationships, will be ready to have the sexual union without much preparation, but the wife whose yetzer is on the inside needs a courting process, needs to be awakened emotionally to actualize her inner desire. And this is not just once. Every single time. So whatever their schedule of intimacy is, the husband needs to constantly do this work. It's so sad that very often a husband sometimes withdraws and the intimate life goes into shambles, and ultimately their marriage life overall goes into shambles because he doesn't put in this effort, or they don't together put in this effort. So this is the idea. You know, it's similar to a wife that has a great desire to go on a trip, but actually getting her there requires a process of traveling. Same thing over here. A wife may want to have the marital union, the sexual intimacy, but to get her there requires the courting process, the emotional connection, which a lot is connected to the pious, which we're going to discuss in lesson three, the next lesson, that a man who is unaware of this obligation will unintentionally cause serious transgressions to take place, serious harm to his wife, as the stipler warns, which we're going to discuss. So he needs to learn this. He needs to learn the art of pious. He needs to learn the art of emotional connection. A third difference is that, of course, we learned that the three levels of unification, which must be achieved, is physical and emotional and spiritual. Physical is the taiva, outright physical desire, sexual desire. The emotional connection is the expression of love. And when a couple engages in these two, they merit the third connection of the spiritual connection, which we're going to talk more about in lesson four. The first two levels is, question is, what awakens first, the physical or emotional? Can you feel physical without emotional? Could you feel emotional without the physical? So generally speaking, a man's physical desire awakens quickly and requires effort to control it for his emotional love to find expression. If he approaches it from just a physical standpoint, he could be completely satisfied physically, although he did not achieve a fraction of the unity that is expected. So he could fall short on his obligation. He'll be sexually satisfied, but emotionally he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And he doesn't even feel the emotion. He needs to use the physical desire to open himself up emotionally. He needs both. If he does that, he has to allow himself to do this, train himself to do this, to not just focus on the physical desire he feels, but to awaken with it an emotional love, which is easier to do when you feel that physical sexual desire. And when he does that, then his satisfaction will be much greater. This is a mistake that many men think, that if they focus just on the sexuality of it, that that's their main enjoyment. They don't realize, human beings are this way, that if they open up the emotional connection together with the physical, their pleasure could be not only doubled, but be 10 times, 100 times beyond. Now, a woman's reality is the opposite. Initially, her emotional connection needs to be awakened, and only then will it generally be followed by the physical connection. For her, the physical union isn't even expressed as an independent entity. It blends with the emotional connection. They're one. A natural state of a woman will not allow her to awaken to physical desire unless there's an emotional connection. Again, there are exceptions to the rule, but this is generally how it works. And therefore, when a husband relates just exclusively on the physical connection, a wife will feel slighted, will feel even disgraced, will feel hurt, will feel disconnected, and the entire activity will cause suffering. And therefore, it's important to work through this difference. The fourth difference is that a man's intimate activity culminates once it's finished. He has intercourse, it releases, and that's it. He's done for the most part. He's ready to go to sleep. A woman, that's just the beginning of the journey, because it's a physical and emotional connecting, and it extends way beyond the physical action is finished. Under normal circumstances, she could be finished with the actual intimate intercourse act, and she is just starting. It's sort of like compared to a plane coming in for landing, right? A man's physical union is like a plane that's landing. A woman's is just taking off. It's just gaining altitude. So here we have where we talk about in the next lesson that a husband needs to adjust to this reality, and lacking this recognition could cause him to transgress and to really hurt her. The wife's enjoyment of the union is living through the day also with the love that flourishes with it. It's the outside the bedroom that's very connected to what goes inside the bedroom. She will not find satisfaction in their marriage or in the intimacy. Rather, she will even feel pain and shame if there's no emotional connection. Intimacy begins way before the sexual actions start, ends way after. So therefore, you don't want to hit. A husband needs to learn this so that she shouldn't say, I don't need you, which really means I don't need to suffer like this. So this is a very, very important insight as well. Bracha v'atzlacha.